Good afternoon. Welcome to this afternoon's edition of the Richard Urban Show. We present news and views from unification principle point of view. We're very happy to continue on the series of candidate interviews for the primaries in West Virginia. And today we have Zachary Shrewsbury on. He's running for U.S. Senator. He's a Democratic candidate. So please introduce yourself.
Hey, well, thank you for having me on. My name is Zach Shrewsbury, Democrat candidate. Native West Virginian, born in Jackson County, went to high school in Monroe County. So I mean, when I Marine Corps veteran, did 5 years in the infantry, 2.5 in the Fleet Anti-Terror Security Team, 2.5 in the infantry. Got out as a sergeant, became a dad while I was in. Eventually, I came back to West Virginia to take care of my grandmother. I dived into community organizing to help my state, activism, and doing political campaigns. Eventually, that all led up to what I'm doing now. I'm now running for U.S. Senate because I don't see any working class representation for West Virginians. I see millionaires, coal barons, and family dynasties, and no one's listening to the working person. And that's what I'm doing.
I think some of the candidates aren't millionaires, but I've been interviewing some of the different ones. But hey, I hear what you're saying. Absolutely. So what do you think the number one issue facing the United States right now is, in your opinion?
I mean, well, if you want to do the whole country, I would say infrastructure would be one of the main focal points you have to work on. We almost need a new deal across this whole nation, but especially in West Virginia, given the state of roads and bridges, railroads, what have you. So we need massive investments in infrastructure. I would say close to home, the addiction crisis is, it's not just West Virginia. It is a large portion of Appalachia that's hurting. And I think we need to tackle that in a very more compassionate manner, not with the mass incarceration, but with a lot of federal funding towards recovery centers and getting people into, to help people save lives, Narcan trainings, basically a really large public awareness campaign, which needs to be funded to get people into recovery and help in that way. As well as, we need to look at dealing with I'm trying to think off the top of my head, sorry. Dealing with reproductive rights and, the abortions. I think we need to get back into that, get back that discussion back. And
I did look on your website. I did have a question about that. So about the reproductive rights or abortion, how do you see it? So I know that we have, some regulations in West Virginia. What should they be, in your opinion, though? What should the regulations be, according to you?
I mean, for me, it just needs to be the government needs to leave people alone. It's a thing that happens. It's not up to a suit and tie to make that choice. It's up to that person, their family, and whoever they include. It comes down to that person. It's their body. So I'm against it. It's not my business, your business, someone across the street's business, what have you. It all comes down to that person. So I'm very low government interference in that way.
Okay. Well, how about if you, for instance, would you agree that the decline or breakdown of the husband and wife family unit is a driving force, but I think behind really all the problems in society? Because in West Virginia, we have 47% of births are outside of marriage. And then a lot of problems come up, whether it be, among girls, suicidal thoughts, or, more likely to get involved with, smoking or drugs or drinking, all those things that can come along, if the home's unstable. Do you agree with that, or do you see it differently?
No, I see it differently. I don't think it's a breakdown of the family. Like I said, it comes down to is, it comes down to literally just people's decisions, and it's no one's business. That's very much where I stand with it. It's not your business, not my business of what people do. We need to fight for reproductive health care across the board. That's fighting against discrimination. We need equity in pregnancy care, postpartum care. We need better education.
So you don't you don't think life begins at conception. I mean, I assume.
I can't hear you. What was that?
I said, so it appears, or obviously, you don't think life begins at conception.
No, I do not.
Okay. All right. Well, that's clear on your position there. Okay. Well, when you're talking about freedoms, like, what do you think about the issue of this isn't, is more a state's issue, but of course it's interrelated to federal policy. Like here in West Virginia, as you know, to go to any school, you have to receive about 11 different vaccines. Do you think that's a good policy, or should we just leave that up to the parents more? And if they don't want to vaccinate their children for religious, conscientious, or any reason, should that be up to them?
No, I think with vaccines based in science, vaccines are good for public health. So I'm down. I'm okay for vaccines happening, because I mean that's where you get. You have to make sure that you know, you can't be spreading viruses or contagions because of that. So you know, I'm pro vaccine in that way. Yes.
Okay. If you were in the Senate, on another topic, would you have voted for the recent $60 billion bill for Ukraine, and as well as there's other funding for Israel and Taiwan? Would you have supported that?
No, I've had an email that came out already. I didn't like that being bundled up. I think all those issues are very different. Bundling all that together makes them less. Kind of think of the right word there. You're diluting the issue. Each issue needs to be looked at in different ways. So no, I wouldn't have supported that bill.
Okay, fair enough. And how about with a lot of these kind of hot issues the last few weeks? What about the FISA extension, where it was extended for 2 years, the warrantless searches, or so-called FISA? I think FISA 702. Go ahead. Do you support that?
I honestly have to look into it more. I'm not familiar with that one, to be honest with you.
Well, that's where they extended the basically warrantless searches, where they had done hundreds of thousands of searches on American citizens, which is supposed to be supposedly for foreign intelligence. Warrant.
Am I for warrantless searches?
Well, that's effectively what happened through the bill. Yeah.
I am not for warrantless searches now. I mean, but I have to look more. I have to look more into the bill.
Okay. Yeah. The FISA. Yeah. Okay. What about on the issue of spending? Like, there's a lot of people are concerned that the current level of spending, especially federal spending, I think like something like $100 trillion is accrued in more debt interest every 100 days or something. It's such a big number. Anyway, is the current level of spending sustainable? You know, do you think it is?
I think we need to. Well, I'm not there. I mean, when you throw out that number, it does not sound like it is sustainable. I'm very big into reallocating money into different areas. For me, a lot of social programs, you could easily reallocate a lot of money. We love to spend money on the Department of Defense and overseas. I think we need to re-look into a lot of that. I know we'd have a lot of waste in the Department of Defense, for instance, that could easily either you could cut out or move that money somewhere else. So absolutely. I mean, looking into different government organizations, you know, everything should, to me, yeah, if you want to audit everything to see where the money's going, absolutely, it should be audited. And we should see, but I'm very big into more reallocation. Like I said, once I'm just like you. I'm on the outside looking in. So I have to get there first to understand where more or less where it's all going to figure that out.
Okay. One thing you mentioned on your site is about the right to work. I know we have the right to work. I mean, when I look at the right to work, and, you know, I mean, I'm not, obviously haven't worked in a labor union situation, although I've worked in other situations, but not in the kind of jobs where they have maybe labor unions or construction or coal or whatever. Anyway, why is it bad, apparently, and if I'm wrong, correct me, you seem to think it's bad to have right to work. My understanding is that means you could choose to either join the union, or if you don't want to join it, you don't. And I think if I'm correct, you said on your website that's bad. Could you explain about more your position?
Well, I think unions very much protect workers across the board. I'll never say a corporation will ever be your friend. Right to work destroys the ability to organize a lot of the times. It really puts the power more in the hands of the company instead of yourself. So you have a hard time advocating for yourself when right to work allows you to be fired for any reason whatsoever, really, within their guidelines that they can figure out. That's why I'm very pro-union in that aspect, where unions can actually pro, you can protect yourself in that way. That's our end of the day. Yes, I think we should have a lot more unions across the board so we can collectively bargain for ourselves.
Okay. All right. That's clear. Back in 2020, as you know, the senators and, congressmen were in the process of deciding on January 6th whether they would look into electoral fraud, and then the whole protest happened and that never happened. But my question is, if you were there, say in the Senate, would you have voted to look into election fraud?
No, I don't believe the election was stolen.
And what about the prisoners who were protesting, and some have still not received due process? Do you have any opinion about that? Meaning those who were arrested, and they're still arresting people who, and not, I mean, some of them may have actually, broken something. I think a small minority, but others were just, walking around, take a selfie, whatever. What's your opinion on that?
I mean, ultimately, I wrote an article on this a while ago. I think for your ringleaders of the entire January 6th incident definitely should be punished. You're more or less people that went along with it, following the ringleader, so to speak. It depends on their circumstances. Like you said, if someone was just, I mean, it depends. Are they in the Capitol taking selfies? Yeah. I mean, you can't just be in the Capitol that way. If you're outside on the sidewalk and you got arrested, certainly that doesn't make a lot of sense. But if you're in the mob itself, then yeah, you're in that. Now, absolutely, due process should move a lot faster. But I mean, that comes down to the justice system, D.C., what have you, wherever they're arrested at.
Yeah. Well, so, my understanding
if that
is,
makes
sense.
Yeah.
Actually, I was at the Trump talk, although I wasn't at the Capitol. But anyway, that very early on, there's a small picket fence that said something like, no trespassing or do not enter. So, even me, I mean, I wouldn't think, normally, hey, it's a Capitol. So it's not like people, there was this big iron gate and the people like took a battering ram and smashed it. No, the doors were open, or in some cases, the police opened the doors. I mean, we could get into a whole thing about it, but it seems like, kind of political persecution. But I guess that would be an opinion, but that's what it seems to me.
Well, I mean, you also can't just run into the Capitol through Capitol Police. I feel like we're not going to agree on this.
Yeah, so you talked about government spending. Like, there was, like, recently in the last few weeks and month or so, there was a huge spending bill passed for $1.2 trillion. I guess it was considered a continuing resolution for the rest of the year. We did touch on a high level of spending, but would you specifically have voted for that $1.2 trillion bill for continuing the government through September that they passed in March?
Basically keeping the government open?
Well, it was the bill for funding, I think, about half the government. I think some of it, supposedly they're supposed to have like 12 different bills, but almost never since, I think, decades have they done that. So they like put together whatever was still pending, which was like half of the budget. And then it had a lot of course, pork barrel stuff and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it was a huge bill.
I'd have to know what's in the particulars of the bill, to be honest with you, to give you a straight answer. Like I said, I'd have to know what's all in the bill. And off the top of my head, I can't.
I think a lot of people like to know. I think it's probably about this big,
And then, that's usually the problem in D.C. A lot of these bills are massive, and then we expect the representatives across the board to actually read them, know what's in them, and then they don't. They just vote for it based
right, on and I think court. Even well in the Ukraine thing, I know that Speaker Johnson suspended the rules. There's supposed to be a rule we have at least 3 days to read the thing. For the Ukraine thing, I'm not sure about the previous one. I doubt anyone could read it in 3 days anyway. But yeah, well, on the topic of spending, so for a long time now, of course, people talk about Social Security and that it's sooner than later, maybe in the next decade, I think, might run out of funds. Do you have any ideas about what could or should be done about that?
I think we need to protect Social Security and shrine to codify whatever have you. Social Security is how a lot of Americans are going to rely on retiring. You know, yeah, so I mean, I think we should lower the age available for that to allow people to live their lives better. But there's always, I don't agree with always putting Social Security up to be as a political talking point to always threaten it or, oh, we need to cut it or it's going to go away. It's one of those things where it needs to be protected because it's good for, it's just good for people. You know, I mean, we could, for me, I mean, you need to cap the retirement age of 60, if you ask me. We could eliminate the tax limit for high wage earners and make the wealthy pay into Social Security. You can do a legacy tax, increase the cost of living adjustments for the recipients, for instance.
Mm-hmm. If it's lower age, so it would cost more then, right? I mean, overall. So how would that be funded?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, so if the retirement age is reduced, then it's obviously going to cost more for the program. How would that be funded?
Well, that's where it comes into. You need to have your tax. You have your taxes raised on the wealthy, and also reallocating all that money that we're talking about into, like, say, the DOD, reallocating all that money into these programs, such as Social Security, to ensure that money is there for people.
So, one thing, again, it's sort of a state issue, but also national. So I think you may know that the Environmental Protection Agency, well, for decades or years now, has been working to, you know, have a lot of regulations on coal, and which effectively is making it harder to burn coal. And then just Thursday, the Biden administration released another regulation, which some people say, I'm definitely obviously not an expert, would make it so hard to meet that level of cleaning the coal emissions that basically the coal plants would just shut down. Do you have any thoughts on that topic? You know, these regulations and how it affects our state, you know?
I'm very much into renewable energy for our state. I do believe that we need to have solar manufacturing here. It's a very big talking point I have, a very popular one I have. Build solar panels in West Virginia. I've talked to the manufacturers and installers. It's very easily to do. You can do that on old abandoned mountaintop removal sites. You can do it across the state. And then I'm also following the UMWA's guidelines to justify transition. You know, I'm always about protecting working class people. With your coal miners, for instance, I come from a mining family. The coal miners need to be protected. So what's that look like? You absolutely need to have a justified transition. You need to have the same wages. You need to have their training paid for. And allow them to get into these jobs first. So it will take a while. Yeah, I'll probably take more than 10 years, but we need to get the ball rolling. I don't see coal sustaining itself in West Virginia much longer. So I think we need to go ahead and embrace the future with that. You know, we used to power this country with coal. We can do it again. You know,
say the last sentence again.
We used to power this country with coal. We can do it again in a new light.
I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah. So interestingly, I'm here in Jefferson County, West Virginia. There's controversy over solar because, like, I think your idea is not bad. Like, I drive across the state. I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember that new highway. Like when you go through Warrenton and up that way, it's beautiful. And up there, there's that big coal plant. Yeah. And then there's, I guess, what used to be strip mines. And it's empty. There's nothing. Well, virtually, that would be a great place to have solar panels, I think. But one problem is here in Jefferson County, they've turned fertile farmland now, at least one is constructed and three others are approved, and all this farmland is running off into the Shenandoah, and people are pissed off because it's ugly, a sin, or whatever you want to call it. And so that's causing a real controversy. So do you have any, I know it's not exactly a federal issue, but you are talking about solo, and it's very controversial. I don't know if you're aware here in Jefferson County, because our county is, you know, very pretty and touristy, and we have the mountain. And now I have this super ugly solar farm. It's not just ugly, but all the topsoil running in the river or anything. Do you want to comment on that?
I mean, so in the day, I'm pro farm. I'm pretty sure. I mean, that I assume that farm went ahead and sold that land to that solar company.
They did.
So, but in the day, yes, I'm pro farmer. That's why I advocate using these mountaintop removal sites or a lot of abandoned large buildings across West Virginia could host solar panels.
For instance, that's a much better idea. I like that one. And even I think like no one would care if there's solar panels on our county dump landfill. But now they put them on this fertile farmland, you know what I mean? So I like that idea of yours. That's a good one. So you see, Cole, so getting back to that specific question, so if these regulations really were to go forward, I know they've been contested for a while, you know, maybe in 15 or 20 years, there wouldn't be any more coal power plants. Do you think that's okay?
If 15 or 20 years, is it okay if there's more coal-fired plants?
There's no more, like because of regulation, whatever, it becomes unfeasible, you know?
I think we're already heading that direction in the first place, regulation. In 15 to 20 years, I think we're going to end up that way anyways. That's why I'm very much pushing for embracing renewable energy. To me, I see the world or the market, whatever have you, is going to embrace that no matter what. So I would like West Virginia to go ahead and be one of the first to grab that future energy.
What about the right to bear arms? Are you a supporter of the right to bear arms? Like, can anyone who, like in West Virginia here, anyone who's mentally competent over 21 can carry a firearm? Is that good for you? Do you support that?
Yeah, I have no problem with the Second Amendment. I own guns myself. It comes down to as long as you have, you know, a lot of people are able to pass a background check. I do believe we need to close the gun show loopholes. We do need to ensure that, and I guess, and this is the one thing, I actually used to sell guns, fun fact. And the way we did it was, even if you had a concealed carry permit, you walked in, you slap it down, you want to buy a gun, we still run your background check anyways. That may not make people happy, but I mean, it's the safest way possible. Also, there's I can't remember the law off the top of my head. Let's say if you're delayed by the FBI's background check, I think after 3 days, you can still get your gun. I would say, no, you need to wait for the FBI to clear your name. Other than that, as long as you're making sure background checks go through, we need to work on mental health this country across the board. So we need to write very much fund mental health everywhere. I mean, that's an outside question from this. But I'm pro gun. I own guns. I'm not for magazine restrictions. I'm not for restrictions on what type of guns you can own. But I do want to make sure that, you know, we do get background checks fully done around the board there with that. I said closing the loopholes to ensure that you can, you know, if guns are being sold, they're being sold correctly.
So I think you were talking about some things. I'm sorry, I'm not looking at it right now, but I did look on your website, like about equity and problems with, I think, racial injustice. You mentioned it. So saying with that, like, I know there's controversy in some places where district attorneys like are saying there's no more penalties for certain misdemeanors, such as burglary or maybe stealing merchandise less than $500 or $1,000 and stuff like that. Would you support, you think that's helpful or that's not helpful, or do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I'm not really familiar with those laws. I will say we have a mass incarceration problem in America. We love to throw people in jail for the slightest of offenses. For me, it's for like marijuana, for instance. We love to throw people in jail for marijuana. To me, that's ridiculous. Right. So I would say we do have a big mass incarceration problem across the board. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not really familiar with those laws. I don't live in those cities. To be familiar with those, so I look into them, but from, you know, said I'm against for-profit prisons and I'm against always jail being the solution.
Right, right. Well, yeah, I mean, ultimately, yeah, well, you said you don't agree with me on the strengthening families, but I think the more it is statistically true, regardless of what you think about, you know, anything else, that if children grow up with a mom and a dad, even if they live in a so-called dangerous inner city area, they're a lot less likely to get into trouble. Would you agree with that or not?
You can't legislate people to be in families.
No.
So I mean, there's not much of a solution in that. And we can talk about that, but I mean, at the end of the day, you can't legislate people to be together or families to work out that way. It's not really a government issue. You know,
that's true. Anything else you want to say else, or we'll wrap it up right now?
No, just thank you for having me on. I appreciate the questions.
Thank you. Okay, we'll put it out on Rich Urban Show so people can hear, and I appreciate your time.